Welcome to our podcast. It's Chris Graham, and I'm going to be joining with Seth Meganson here in just a couple of minutes. Seth Meganson has been our resident bracketologist here at AFP, and Seth and I are going to do hopefully something you'll enjoy over the next few weeks. You saw the headline on this podcast, NCAA Tournament Coronavirus Edition, and I guess obviously we don't get to play an NCAA tournament this year, and so what Seth and I are going to work through is we're going to go through it really game by game over the next few weeks on the days when we're supposed to do it, right? Today would be – now, we would have had the first four games would have been both Tuesday night and Wednesday night, you know, the games between the 16 and 17 seeds, and then the last four teams in, basically 11 seeds. We would have had those the last two nights. So we didn't go through those. You know, I'm one who isn't 100% married to the idea that those games are really part of everything anyway. So, you know, I've always been a traditionalist in that sense. For Thursday, man, this would be the day that, you know, we're social distancing and, you know, a lot of us aren't at work, or working from home as we can. This would be a day where without any coronavirus issue, we'd be playing hooky from work. We'd be going out. Of course, we'd be maybe going out to places like Buffalo Wild Wings, other sports bars, having fun in that respect. Starting around noon, and then we'd be, you know, we'd be kind of just going around from there, right? But let's see. I've been advised to share the podcast. That means I got to type something as I'm talking, and that is hard to do. But let's see. Coronavirus edition. Still waiting for Seth to call in. And let's see here. Let's just leave it at that. Post that on Twitter, at least get some people listening in here. And what we'd love to do is hear from you as well as we go through this. And I'm still waiting for Seth to call in, making sure that he is, I sent him the instructions on that. And so, but what we're going to do, I've got the games here listed basically from where they'd be played today. Today's games would emanate from Albany, St. Louis, Spokane, and Tampa. And we're going by Seth's bracket, and I've got the games written down as he seeded it out. Because, you know, to just reinforce, Seth was our bracketologist for us this year. And starting back in the first part of February, he did a weekly update on the what the field might look like. And then as we got closer to Selection Sunday, we were doing something daily, basically. And so when the NCAA pulled the plug for the obvious reasons in terms of the trying to prevent the spread of COVID-19, I asked Seth to go ahead and produce for us a final bracket. And, I'm just going to try to call Seth now. Maybe he didn't get the directions, and we may just have to do this the old-fashioned way, patch him in through the phone here. And it might not sound quite as good, but you know what? I'm watching a lot of sports radio, there's everybody's having challenges. So let's see here. Yeah, I got another email, and it wasn't from Seth. So I'm just going to call Seth here. Put him on speaker and just say, "Hey, Seth, you're on the line," and we'll go from there. So we're going to go through this really again from region to region. And
hey, Chris.
Hey, Seth. Hey, I actually am on live. I'd sent you directions on how to do this, so but it's okay. If you're good to go now, I've been explaining to our listeners out there. I'm using your field, and I've broken down today's games would be in Albany, St. Louis, Spokane, and Tampa. And so I went through your list there. And if you're prepared, if you're ready to fire away, let's shoot at this. Where do you think we should start? Maybe let's just start at Tampa because it's on the top of my list because I had to write this on a piece of paper here. And welcome, by the way, Seth.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hope you're doing well. Thanks for doing this with us, and should be a lot of fun. So The first matchup we'll get into from Tampa. I mean, and these are the fun days. Like, these are the days where there's four games at each place, and man, basketball all day long for those fans. BYU and Yale. Yale, I'm seeing a lot of folks when I'm looking around at different brackets how this would play out. Yale's getting a lot of love, but BYU is also getting a lot of love. A team that scores a lot of points. Who would you have advancing, BYU and Yale?
That would be a very interesting 5-12 matchup for sure. There's a couple 5-12 matchups in my final standings that I was like, man, these would be very interesting. That might be one of those years where the 12s outbeat the 5s. But yeah, I think that would be a very intriguing game. Yale, as everyone knows, I mean, I know this is going to sound kind of counterintuitive, but they play smart basketball. But yeah. I would say, but BYU, they have some good wins. They beat Gonzaga. They look like a very strong, a strong threat. I even have seen some little bracketology, like simulations where BYU made runs. I actually think BYU would pull this game out. I think this would probably be a game that a lot of people would pick the 12 seed, and I don't blame them, but I honestly think from what I've seen this year, I feel like BYU would just have too much inside to really for Yale to be able to stop them. And so I think BYU would win, but I do think this would be a very close matchup.
Yeah, it's one of those 5-12s that would be very attractive, no question about that. And so the other part of that particular side of the bracket, and we're in the South region here on South's bracket, it would be the 4-seed Wisconsin, the 13-seed North Texas. Who you got here?
This is another interesting one. Both of these teams play a very slow pace. Two of them, I think they're, if I remember correctly, they might both be like in the top 5 and like lowest by pace of play. So it would probably be a very low scoring game. Again, to start things off, though, I'm not picking an upset at the moment. I think Wisconsin, them and Virginia are the two best in the country at playing at that pace. I think eventually they'd be able to pull away from North Texas. So I'd say it'd probably be like a game that maybe one team only scores in the 40s and one team only scores in the 50s, but I would go with the Badgers on that one.
Yeah, they are good, like Virginia, at rock fights. And so, but yeah, another intriguing matchup there. So now we'll go to the bottom part of the bracket. This, presumably, we'll say these are the evening games in Tampa. The 7-seed, and still in the South, 7-seed Michigan, 10-seed Marquette. I'll say again, like I said about Yale, actually both, both these teams, but Marquette's been getting a lot of love from the different brackets I'm looking at. Michigan, of course, a tough Big Ten team. Who you got here?
Yeah, this one, when I did this projections, I was like, this would be a game that I'd be looking forward to. You have one team in Marquette who, to be honest with you, is not playing very good, but Howard, their leading scorer, is one of the best players, if not the best player in the country. And then you have Michigan, who's kind of in the same boat. They haven't been playing their best. They weren't on like a losing streak, kind of like Marquette was. But they really hadn't been playing their best basketball here kind of at the end. They had pretty much started out really good. And then by the end, they had kind of leveled out. So this would be, I think, one of the more intriguing matchups of the first weekend. Gosh, this one's a tough one to pick, to be completely honest with you, because on one hand, you have a guy like Howard who can just completely take over the game. But overall, I think Michigan's the better basketball team. I'm going to go with Marquette, though. I'll go with them since I think Howard is very capable of winning a game by himself. I'd say it would be a super close game. This one might even be one that came down to the final shot. But I'll take Marquette in this one.
A slight upset, at least, is certainly in terms of seeding, 10-7. But those matchups, when you get to even 6-11s can be very evenly matched up teams. And so our final game of the day in Tampa – the basically the home team, FSU, Florida State, the ACC champions. I got to say, they're the last team I saw warm up this year. I was in the arena in Greensboro, and Florida State was back out. Both Florida State and Clemson, those guys were doing their shoot around, and then Florida State came out for their layup line before they got pulled off the floor. So the last ball I saw go through a hoop this college basketball season was an FSU layup in a layup line. They match up with Hofstra in a 2-15 matchup. Who you got?
So this, what I think, would be the toughest draw for a 2-seed. I think Hofstra would be a very tough draw. I almost made them a 14-seed. It was very close with them and Belmont, UC Irvine, and North Dakota State. It was kind of hard to separate those teams. So I definitely think Florida State got the hardest draw of the 15 here. That being said, I like this Florida State team all year. I know there's been a couple times where this Florida State team has kind of let me down, like from just performances, but I think going into this tournament, they'll be looking to try to get Leonard Hamilton to the Final Four for the first time. I think Hofstra gives them a pretty good game for, let's say, about 30 minutes, and then I think Florida State just overwhelms them with their athletes and was able to pull away and maybe win like 10 or 11 points. But yeah, like I was saying, I think this would be the toughest 2-15 matchup that there is in my bracket.
So for our listeners out there, the live listeners, we also archive these podcasts. So obviously the archived podcast listeners, you can't weigh in with questions. I mean, I guess you could, but we won't be able to see them. But there is a live stream, and you can actually, if you're joining us through the podcast, the Podbean app, you can actually ask us questions or make comments. And we will put this down to, I will write a post up a little later today, excuse me, with the results, because we're going to play this out. And so just to summarize quickly, in Tampa, BYU over Yale in a 5-12 matchup, Wisconsin 4-13 matchup win over North Texas, slight upset, Marquette the 10 seed defeating number 7 seed Michigan, and then the 2 seed FSU against the 5th winning over the 15 seed Hofstra. So let's go to Albany, and Albany is we're going to start there around their noon starter, whenever that would be. And let's see, pulling this up here, the first matchup is Penn State and Texas, the 6-seed Penn State, the 11-seed Texas. Boy, Texas getting into this field by the skin of their teeth. Who do you got in this one?
Yeah, so for those who don't know how I did my bracketology, there was some bracketologies that kind of did what the final thing was without the extra games being played that all got canceled at conference tournament. How I did mine was, I decided I was going to do it a little differently. I was going to pretend like the conference tournament's played out and the higher seeds just won. I know that would never happen, but that's how I did it. So that's one of the reasons why Texas was able to get in, because I gave them the win over Texas Tech. So this is a very intriguing matchup too, like much like Marquette and Michigan, because Penn State's not playing their best basketball going into this. And Texas, even though they're not, I wouldn't say playing great basketball, they weren't playing like high flying, dangerous. But also, Shaka Smart's probably playing for for his job down there at Texas. So it's not like I'm picking on the Big Ten here a little bit, picking Marquette over Michigan, but I'm also going to take Texas over Penn State. I think at the end of the day, I think Texas is getting better as a basketball team, and Penn State was declining at the end of the year, and I really think that Shaka Smart will need this one. So I'm going to go with the 11 seed Texas actually upsetting 60 to Penn State.
So far, that's our biggest, at least seed win, 11 Texas over 6 Penn State. So in the other part of that particular part of the bracket, 3 seed Villanova, 14 seed UC Irvine. Who you got here?
So I think this would also be a very interesting 14-3 matchup that I think I would maybe say it's the second best 3-14 matchup, because UC Irvine, I don't know if anyone's seen them play, that they can play. But Villanova, when it comes to this time of year, they either do one of two things. They either play their butts off, or it seems like they come out flat in the NCAA tournament and are gone early. I don't think that will be the case this year with Villanova not winning the national championship the year before. I think Villanova will come in, they'll be able to spread the floor, they'll probably hit big shots like they normally do come this tournament. I say Villanova wins, probably wins relatively comfortable.
So that would set up a second round matchup, Villanova and Texas, on the weekend. Now we'll go Albany a little later in the day there, and we've got Iowa playing, let's see here. I've got it all written down here, but I'm just kind of looking to see. I'm trying to match it up here to, because they're the Iowa, let's see, they are the, I presume they're the 6th seed. And, oh, here we go, sorry, in the South region. So Iowa, the 6th seed versus the winner of a first four game between UCLA and NC State. So first you got to tell me who wins that game.
I'll be quick with the playing game. I think UCLA will win. They have been playing really good basketball at this point. Like, they had, gosh, I think we talked about the last time you had me on, they were pretty much left for dead in January.
Yeah.
And then, like, end of January into February and into March, they have just played really good basketball, kind of put themselves back in it. And like I was saying earlier with how I did this bracketology, UCLA would have made a run to the Pac-12 championship game, and that really helps, like, solidify getting them in. So I think that they would beat NC State. As for their game against Iowa, I mean, Iowa is just, I feel like Iowa is one of those teams that they put everything together. They could be one of the best 10 teams in the country. They could be extremely dangerous. They can make a run in this thing. I really like this Iowa team. I've liked them all year. I would honestly say that Iowa would beat UCLA, even though UCLA is playing very good basketball at this moment. I just think UCLA has too much for the Bruins. So I will go with the Hawkeyes and stop my picking against Big Ten team trends.
There we go. Well, yeah, Iowa, you're right. They're now that they're freed from the shackles of playing in the Big Ten this year, they could be a team that could have made a run. And your 3-14 matchup, the last game we'll say of the night, Seton Hall as the 3 seed, Belmont as the 14.
Yeah, so I always kind of feel bad for Belmont. I feel like they get into the tournament, like, you know, every other year, and every year somebody is like, hey, this team is really good. They're going to pull off the upset. They're going to get it. This is the year. This is the year. And then it doesn't turn out to be. And so this year, I expect there will probably be some teams, I mean, some people that still think that Belmont, you know, this is the year they're going to pull out an upset. But kind of much like the Iowa game, Seton Hall has too much inside-outside game. I would love to pick Belmont here, but I'm going to stick with Seton Hall, setting up a really intriguing matchup with Iowa in the second round. I just think that Seton Hall would just have too much for Belmont to be able to slow down. And, yeah, I'll go with Seton Hall.
Yeah, Seton Hall is a really good 3 seed, no question about that. So that sets up an interesting matchup there, as you said. We've got, so to recap what happens in Albany, Texas, the slight upset, 11 over a 6 Penn State, and then Villanova over UC Irvine, Iowa over UCLA, who beat NC State to get there, and then Seton Hall over Belmont. So now, okay, so we are halfway through our first day. Good time in here. Again, if you're out there and you're listening in live, feel free to comment in any way. We're following, by the way, I should say this, and I should have said this at the beginning. You can go to Augusta Free Press. Seth Meganson is our resident bracketologist here at AFP, and he gave us his final bracket projection. We're actually going by that to play this tournament out. And if you wanted to follow along, you could do so by just going to his post on our website. You can go to the sports and entertainment section and kind of follow along. But you can also just listen to us here, and this is fun. So now we're going to go to the St. Louis regional. And the first matchup is a 7-10 matchup, Illinois and Utah State. Take us through this one.
Yeah, this, again, the 7-10 matchups are usually always intriguing, and this is another one. Utah State, as everyone knows, they were able to get in because they won the Mountain West tournament, being San Diego State. They might have still actually been able to pull out getting an at-large bid. We'll never know. But, yeah, so they're the Mountain West champion, taking on a very good Illinois team who, you know, they've kind of suffered the last couple of years, so you know they'll be super excited to be here. But, yeah, I think that this is a game that, again, will probably come right down to the wire. Gosh, honestly, I'm more torn on this one than I was Michigan and Marquette, to be completely honest with you. But, yeah, my goodness. I'll go with Illinois. The thing about Utah State is I think they're a very good basketball team going into the year. They were ranked in the top 25, I believe, or at least a lot of people thought they were going to be a top 25 team. But there were spurts during the year where, honestly, I was very disappointed in what I saw in them. But they were picking back up here in March and playing good basketball, like I said, winning the Mountain West tournament. But I just think at the end of the day, Illinois is the better basketball team. And, yeah, I'll stick with them for the moment because I'll say, much like Iowa, Illinois is the team that I actually do like. I just sometimes think they need to put everything all together a little bit better. But, yeah, so I'll just go with the Illini on that one.
Yeah, I've got it in ink, so you got to go with them. They hit the shot late. They made free throws, and they pulled it out. So they beat Utah State in an intriguing 7-10 matchup. our drive-through version of 12 hours of basketball, right? This is so that matchup feeds into – that was 7-10. It feeds into a 2-15 matchup, Creighton and Arkansas Little Rock.
So, yeah, will be a couple different factors to see what was going to happen in this one. His name is, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on his name. The Creighton player who might have been back. Chris, do you know it off the top of your head? I'm blanking on it.
Oh, go ahead and keep talking. I'll look it up for you real quick. I don't watch much Big East, but let's see here. Tyshawn Alexander, Marcus Zagorowski, Christian Bishop, Damian Jefferson.
It is, I don't know why. We'll just say the guy, they were supposed to have a star player that is supposed to be back, and for some reason I am just blanking on which one it was.
Okay.
But anyway, Creighton, yeah, if Creighton gets him back for this tournament, they're going to be very dangerous. Creighton, I mean, puts up a lot of points, and they can shoot the lights out. Arkansas Little Rock is a very interesting team. The Sun Belt Conference usually is a higher seed than this. They're usually like a 13-12 seed. But this year the Sun Belt was kind of a little bit down. Honestly, I think Creighton would probably run away with this game. I might be completely wrong because Little Rock has been in the tournament in recent years and has always put up pretty much a competitive fight. A couple years ago, they upset at Purdue in the first round. But I think this Creighton team would just be too much, too many scoring options. And yeah, I'll take Creighton in that one.
So that sets up a second round matchup. A 2-7 matchup, Creighton and Illinois, coming up on the weekend. Another 7-10 matchup. Now we're in the East region, and we're still in St. Louis, but these next two games will play in the East region eventually. St. Mary and Indiana.
So, yeah, again, another Big Ten team. There's a lot of Big Ten teams playing on the first day, isn't there?
Yeah.
Indiana was a team that, you know, going into the Big Ten tournament, they needed to do something to really solidify themselves getting in. They were able to play Nebraska, blew them off the court, and I believe that if it wouldn't have been canceled, they would have played Penn State, I believe, in the Big Ten tournament. And honestly, I kind of think Indiana might have actually pulled that game out and maybe even ended up in a higher seed than what I have them currently. And then St. Mary's, you know, I don't know if you watched the conference championship game with Gonzaga earlier last week. They gave the Zags a pretty tough game. Gonzaga was able to pull away at the end. So I really did like what I saw in the St. Mary's. I'm going to go a little even more in depth than this one. I'm going to say this one goes to overtime. I think that's how close these teams are. But I'm going to say that Indiana pulls it out in the end. St. Mary's is one of those teams that I always have a hard time trusting them when it gets to NCAA tournament time because you just don't know with the quality of teams that they played. Even though this schedule that they played this year was a lot better, I feel like, than years past, you just never know with St. Mary's. So I'll take the one that I feel like I know a little better. Even though they might have been disappointing this season, Indiana, I'll go with them this game.
So that would be the 1-1, 2-1, 3-1, 4-1 so far for the Big Ten. As we're going through our brackets, Indiana with a slight upset, our third upset, at least according to seeding. And our last matchup of the day in St. Louis is Kentucky and Northern Kentucky.
Yeah, so these two teams actually matched up with each other a few years back in the NCAA tournament. I believe it was 2017. And Northern Kentucky played them very, very well. I think Kentucky ended up winning by double digits, but the final score did not indicate how the game actually was. Northern Kentucky is such a great story. I think they've only been eligible to make the NCAA tournament for 4 years now, and they've made three of the four. So, it would be a rematch of the 2017 game. I feel like what I've seen with the bracketologists and everything like that, Kentucky has given a little bit more love than what I would give them. The only reason that I pretty much have them at the two here is because in my scenario, they would end up winning the SEC tournament, and that would probably boost them up. That being said, I don't think Northern Kentucky will beat Kentucky. I think Kentucky will just have too much for them, just like I've been saying, for a lot of these lower seeds. I just don't think they'll have enough to keep up. It's kind of a shame that we're not going to get a tournament because, you know, all these teams could have proved me wrong. But no, I just think that this year Kentucky would probably beat Northern Kentucky, and I think they'd beat them probably more handily than they did back in 2017. But it would be a very intriguing game to see because you know Northern Kentucky would be fired up for it because those teams in game, the smaller schools in Kentucky always want to play Kentucky and Louisville when it matters most. So it could be closer than what I'm giving them credit for, but I'll go with Kentucky relatively comfortable.
So summing up our St. Louis bracket, Illinois over Utah State in a 7-10 matchup, Creighton in a 2-15 defeats Arkansas Little Rock. slight upset, Indiana, a 10 over a 7, St. Mary's, and then Kentucky moving through in what could be, at least for a while, an interesting game with Northern Kentucky. Now, okay, so we're three quarters of the way through. Let's get through Spokane. And there's a couple of matchups coming up here, interesting in the Midwest region of your bracket, because of both the games themselves and also the potential matchups in the second round. Your first one, 5-12, one of those 5-12 games, Ohio State and Stephen F. Austin. And if you remember, folks, Stephen F. Austin, that's the team you remember that beat Duke at Cameron back earlier in the season. Who you got in this one?
Yeah, well, like I was saying, I think a lot of people would look at these 5-12 matchups if they were the 5-12 matchups and be thinking, oh, I like that 12 or that 5, and this is another one. Ohio State, again, I feel like I keep saying this about the Big Ten teams, but they're another team that, like, you just don't know what you're going to get. Stephen F. Austin, I believe, only had 3 losses on the entire year. We talked about how they won in Duke. You know what? I as much as I think this Ohio State team has tons of potential, I'm going to go with Stephen F. Austin. That was my first 12. I'm picking over a 5. Might not be my last one, but it's definitely the first one. I'm going to go with Stephen F. Austin taking out Ohio State and moving on to the second round.
That's so far our biggest upset of the day. And of course, there will be folks out there who say, yeah, but they beat Duke at Duke, so you would kind of expect that. But yeah, our biggest upset of the day to this point, a 12 over a 5. And so now the 4-13 matchup, this is also interesting, Louisville and Vermont. And I can say, obviously, I've seen Louisville in person. That was the last game I saw in JPJ just a couple of weeks ago. And Vermont actually played in JPJ as well this year. They played Virginia really, really tough, eventually losing by 6 back in a November game. I remember leaving that night thinking that Vermont team's going to be in the NCAA tournament. Here they are. So who you got in this one?
So when I put this bracket together, this was the game that kind of my eyes kind of lit up. I was like, oh, there's my pick. So, yes, I'll just go ahead and right off say it. I'm picking Vermont to beat Louisville in this game. Vermont is always a scrappy team, a well-coached team. Doesn't matter who's coaching them. It's like one thing that's always going to be certain is Vermont's going to have a good basketball team. It's just how it always is. Louisville, you know, going into the year, there was a lot of hype around Louisville. They were the ACC favorite. But really, I don't know how you feel about it, Chris, but I never felt like it really got going. It kind of felt like this whole year, like even when they had Spurs, I think at one point they were the number one team in the country.
Yeah.
It just never felt like that they had everything clicking. And when you're going into the NCAA tournament playing a team like Vermont, that's the last thing you need to, you know, the last way you need to be operating is not having everything clicking on all cylinders. And Vermont's just one of those teams that I think if you don't come and play your A game, Vermont will bury you. And I don't think Louisville, I think there's a really good chance that Louisville will come into this game not playing their A game. So I'll have a 12-13 matchup in the second round between Stephen F. Austin and Vermont.
I would agree. When I looked at this matchup too, I thought the same thing. Louisville down the stretch went 3-4, the win before that stretch was to me a sort of controversial win over Virginia. They got a lot of free throw attempts in the second half of that game to help them to bail them out from a bad shooting second half. I can see this very much. And plus, yeah, a lot of respect for that Vermont squad. When I saw them in JPJ, they run such a patterned offense. That if you get behind, boy, they will just bludgeon you with that offense they run. So we have two big upsets. We have a 12-13 that we look forward to there in that Midwest region. Now we're going to go still in Spokane, but now back out to the West region. And let's just say Gonzaga against it's either Robert Morris or Boston University. Give us who you got here.
Name, I would go Robert Morris.
Okay.
But then, I mean, there's no question. Gonzaga. Gonzaga probably by a lot. I know Robert Morris people would, if they listen to this podcast, would probably be mad at me, but Gonzaga, I would say Gonzaga pretty easily. I'll make it short and sweet. Just yep, Gonzaga.
Gonzaga, yeah, that's all you need. I would agree, yeah, about going away style, too. And the 8-9 matchup that would face Gonzaga is going to be Oklahoma and Rutgers, a couple of intriguing teams from power conferences.
was my favorite 8-9 matchup. I hope that this doesn't come off as me sounding like ridiculous, but I think I'm going to go Rutgers on this one because honestly, Rutgers, such a good story. I feel so bad for that program that they haven't been to the NCAA tournament in so long. And then the year that, you know, all this happens, they could have gotten in. I don't know if they would make a run in this thing. Oklahoma was a very good basketball team, don't get me wrong. But just, I was like, I think Rutgers would come in and take it into this tournament, much like Northwestern did a few years back, where Northwestern had never been to the tournament and kind of, I felt like, played with a sense of like urgency and played with a lot of heart. I feel like you'd get that out of Rutgers as well in this game. When it comes down to it, I actually think Oklahoma is the better basketball team, but I don't think they're that much better that it's like, you know, that's a wide difference. I really, really would look forward to this game, but I'm going to go with Rutgers. I'm going to give them this game and have them have a chance to play Gonzaga in the second round.
So where that leaves us is I'm breaking down the 16 first day games that we just went through. Seth has 6 of the lower seeds advancing of the 16, so that seems pretty fair. You know, it's not tremendous upheaval, but enough. You know, that's the typical first day. 2 big ones: Vermont 13 over Louisville, Stephen F. Austin 12 over Ohio State. It's sort of a mild upset: 11 Texas over Penn State 6. I'm with you on all those, Seth, that, you know, the trends of the higher seeds as the late season went on, they're not playing their best basketball. So I can see that. Marquette over Michigan, I think a similar kind of game there too. This would have been a fun first day, man. I'm wiping my eyes right now thinking that we could be sitting up till 12 o'clock tonight watching these games playing out this way. So we can catch our breath now. And thanks to all the people who joined us on the live studio. We had quite a few people joining in, and Seth and I are going to get back together tomorrow morning, same time, 9 o'clock, and we'll break down Friday's first round games, and we'll have to pace ourselves because we went straight through this. We went through 16 games in 32 minutes now, and Seth, good for you, man. I put you on the spot on a few of these. These are tough. I want you to hang on the line real quick as I wrap the show up, Seth. And for our listeners out there, let me push a couple of buttons. I'm also a producer. So I'm going to play our outro music. There you go. And thanks for joining us here on NCAA Tournament Coronavirus Edition. Join us back here again Friday morning, and we will talk to you again with Friday's games. Thank you for joining us.